From our Imams, the ninth Imam is the first, whose Imamat began at a very young age, about 8 or 9.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ali al-Barrat-Tahir.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Ja'far, Muhammad the son of Ali, the righteous, the pious.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad. And Imam al-Jawad was the ninth divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. Imam al-Jawad was surrounded by a halo of veneration and glorification, and his eminence was respected highly by all classes of society, whether rich or poor. The people saw in Imam al-Jawad's personality the scope and grandeur of his great fathers, who had carried the torch of guidance and goodness to humanity. However, we find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was so humble that he never paid attention to these manifestations of venerations and glorifications that which he was surrounded by. Instead, His Eminence Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam preferred asceticism and avoided the pleasures of this world.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of the ninth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Dear friends, we find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam has these truly beautiful dialogues with his companions, his friends, his relatives, and with the people in general. Of course, being a divinely appointed Imam meant that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam was the central figure and the pivot and the axis around which the Muslim Ummah was to go around. Now, perhaps because of the governmental establishment of the Abbasids, this was not allowed to happen because the Abbasids tried to make themselves the central point and the axis of the Muslims. Now, this, of course, had negative impacts on the Muslim Ummah because moral corruption and moral decadence and ethical problems, even jurisprudential differences, theological differences, philosophical differences, they were increasing day by day. Of course, when the axis and the pivot is flawed, then the whole system will be flawed. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, he speaks about a whole host of different things. In one conversation with his companion, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam started to talk about blessings. And of course, the companion wanted to know what is one of the best of blessings. So Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam replied to his companion and he said that good health is the best of blessings. Now, when the Imams say these different things. So, for example, in one place they'll say that something else is the best of blessings. In another place they will say that this other thing is the best of blessings. In this case, they have said that good health is the best of blessings. Now, this means that all of these things are the best of blessings. separate from one another and along with one another. In this case, good health, Imam says, is the best of blessings. Now, of course, good health, if we think about it, good health is truly one of the best of blessings. But why? Good health in and of itself, sure, it's an excellent thing, it's great. But good health helps us to be able to obey the commandments of the Almighty Allah. When we become sick, for example, ill or ailing, it becomes more difficult to obey the commandments of Allah. It becomes more difficult, right? It is more difficult to pray. It is more difficult to perhaps stand up. It is more difficult to do dua. You know, it is more difficult to do the different things that Allah has made wajib and obligatory upon us. But on the other hand, when we have good health, we are able to worship Allah very easily. We are able to have the energy to worship Allah. We are able to do the recommended things, the mustahab things that the Almighty Allah has given us. Of course, good health allows us to not be worried about our health constantly. May Allah protect all of us, and may Allah give a cure to people, for example, who have heart disease, or people who have high blood pressure, or people who have diabetes. How difficult is it for them to be able to have a peace of mind and tranquility so that they can worship the Almighty Allah in a peaceful means, in a pure means, in an uncorrupted and unbothered way, right? And at the same time, it is so difficult for these people to be able to do some of the worships of the Almighty Allah and even benefit for some of the simple blessings of the Almighty Allah. So yes, it is very true, and it is a very beautiful conversation that we find. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam says, good health is the best of blessings, so please request the Almighty Allah to endow us with this blessing and to never take this blessing away from us. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
From our Imams, the ninth Imam is the first, whose Imamat began at a very young age, about 8 or 9 years old. Basically, look at the special wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to our ninth Imam. What is zinat? Beauty. But let us go to the hadith of the Imam, where Imam talks about a zinat in a very different level. خفض الجناح زينة العلم. Humbleness is beauty of knowledge. Knowledge is one of the most precious gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is only danger with it, and that is arrogance. And this is where Imam is saying خفض الجناح. The literal meaning of these words, خفض الجناح, means to lower your wings. It's a symbol for humility. That when a person has knowledge, you know, he basically has to become humble in presence of the people. Especially if you look at the Islamic adab, Islamic, you know, manners and character in Islamic institutions of learning, this is very much emphasized. A great scholar will never ever call himself an alim. No, it's considered to be a sign of arrogance to call yourself an alim.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.